Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. It's Monday, so that means we've got a great trip report lined up for you right here on the show. But first, a word from our sponsors. Guys, Valentine's Day, 2 days away. It's crunch time. So let me give you a couple of ideas for the Disney fan in your life. First of all, we got some great reads, The Wisdom of Walt and Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. Two great books by author Jeff Barnes for the Disney fan in your life. It gives some backstory on how Walt Disney himself put Disneyland together and then had the dream to expand the Disneyland idea to the East Coast, to Central Florida. But not only do you get a little history in these books, you also get inspired when you read these books because it gives you ways to improve your relationships with those around you, family members, friends, coworkers. Walt Disney inspired people. He knew how to talk to people. He knew how to build teams. You can do the same. This book, it improves your life, but it's also a great history lesson. It's a great walk right there with Walt. So check out these great books today. And you can even get digital copies if you're in a crunch. It's not too late to do that. Check them out on Amazon, but you can also drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with your friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for with pictures so you know what you're going to see out your window, and so much more. For just the cost of basically a counter service meal at Walt Disney World, 365 days of great information to make each of your trips over the next year way, way better. And the best part about this is, again, if you're in a pinch, all you need is your loved one's email address and they're going to be set up for the year. So check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1288 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Couple of days ahead of Valentine's Day, so don't worry. We're not going to be talking about is this romantic, but you know what might be coming your way here on the show very soon. One of our most famous podcasts of the year. But today, you're safe. No worries. We got a trip report, and we're headed out to the West Coast. It's going to be an interesting one today. I can't wait to hear about it. My good buddy Garrett's on the line to talk about a very unique trip. Garrett, how's it going today?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Mike.
Glad to have you on the show. And you've got a history with Walt Disney World, even though you are on the West Coast up in Spokane, Washington. So give us a little backstory with that.
Yeah. So when I was 18, my grandparents took the entire family to Disney World. And gosh, that was over Christmas when I was 18. We did 4 days in the parks and we left for a 3-day cruise. I said, why'd we waste 3 days on a cruise ship? And then I got on the cruise. I said, why did we waste 4 days on a on land? And but I said at 18, you know what, someday I'm going to come back here and work. And lo and behold, 2 years later, I turned 21 doing the college program,
which I'm very excited. I've said many, many times on the show that that's one of my biggest regrets, was not knowing about the college program when I was in school and not taking advantage of that. Paige, my daughter, is now in college. She's kind of hemming and hawing on whether she wants to do it or not. She's going overseas for the summer, so that's going to take up some of her time and some of, you know, her resources. But I'm always interested in folks who took that journey. So even before that, being on the West Coast, did you go to Disneyland a lot, or what was your connection to Disney before that trip with your grandparents?
Yeah, we did Disneyland when I want to say I was like 12. It was early on, and I want to say Indiana Jones was open for not that long when we went, because I remember kind of the famous point of that trip was we borrowed my grandparents' motorhome and stayed in that, and then my dad went back into the park for the extra magic hours and rode the ride, he claimed, like 25 times in 2 nights or something like that. So, no, other than that, it's just your typical, you know, raised in a quote-unquote normal home. So Disney was part of, I believe, kind of that all-American normal culture that I kind of grew up in, I guess.
Yeah, totally agree with that. I mean, we got a lot of listeners that listen overseas, and it is. I mean, it's a I guess it's hard to describe if you're not from the States, because it is kind of just a part of our culture. You know, it's, especially with, I'm from Missouri, where Walt lived for a little bit, and we're very proud of him. You know, we've adopted Walt as though he was born here, even though he wasn't. He only spent a few years in Missouri, but he's one of our famous Missourians, and we're very proud to have those roots here, you know, with Kansas City and Marceline. And I think it is a kind of a common thread with Americans to have that Disney, because it's just, it's in popular culture. So now let me ask you about, When you went down to grandparents before you got on the college program, you said you did kind of a land sea thing. I like to hear what people remember about both, like, the land portion and the cruise. Like, first impressions, like, what stuck with you?
Yeah, so the land was awesome. I mean, I was always a big ride. I'm a theme guy, so that's why I find what's so cool about Disney is because there's just nowhere on property that isn't in theme. You know, at all times. And I, you know, went down there. We were on land for 4 days, typical first time in the parks. It was awesome. I didn't want to leave. Then we got on a cruise ship. And it was really, really cool. The only downside to the cruise portion was that my cousin and I were the oldest of the five kids, and we were both 18, and on a Disney cruise ship, 18 is just a really kind of a crummy age.
It is. You're right. They're working on that, because now they have like a club, like 18, 21 or something. It's like, cause you're not an adult, so you can't drink, you know, but you know, so I've heard that from many people, like that 18 to 21 is a tough age on the ship.
Yeah. We basically, I think, you know, you're right. We couldn't drink, and I don't think we could, I don't remember if there was gambling on the ship. We couldn't do any of that. And then we had to basically, if I remember it correctly, we kind of had to give up our quote unquote adult rights, which we basically had none, in order to be in the teen group or something. And we figured, you know, we can't do anything adult on the ship anyway. Neither one of us drank when we were 18. So it was pretty easy, and we had a lot of fun still, but most people were a bit younger than us.
Yeah, I've heard that many, many times. So tell me about how you found out about the Disney College program and what led you, especially from Spokane. I mean, I know you had that experience with Walt Disney World and the cruise and, you know, being down there in Florida, but that's a tough journey. I mean, that's from one corner of the country to the other. So how did that journey unfold for you?
Absolute blind, dumb luck. So where I graduated from, Eastern Washington, is just on the edge of Spokane where I live. So it's kind of de facto, I like to call it, at the time it felt like extended high school, because that's where most kids went that I went to school with. Well, I went to Montana, played football for a couple of years, got tired of football, didn't like engineering school. So I transferred to Eastern. I had been on Eastern's campus for, I think I was in my very first quarter out there, getting to know campus and walking across campus. I actually saw a sign on a bulletin board, thought, well, that sounds cool. I was just at Disney. Why not? I haven't even found what I wanted to do. I'm 2 years into college, but I just transferred, so I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So I went and interviewed, and lo and behold, this is when MySpace was like brand new. So you didn't have that easy connection, you know, and before everybody had a cell phone in I applied in early 04 maybe. And so it wasn't easy to keep up with friends. And lo and behold, I ran into a buddy 2 days after I interviewed, a good friend from high school. And he had just gotten back from doing it, said, you have to do it. It was a blast. And so I flew down there, and the first person that I met, while we were taking ID badge photos, was from Spokane, and I got assigned a Big Thunder Mountain roller coaster, and the rest is kind of history. It was awesome. Best experience of my life.
I've heard that from so many people. I know Nate from Wedway Radio was a college program graduate as well, did some time down there and has interesting stories. So let me ask you this. I know it's been over a decade. I love talking MySpace and pre-Twitter. I mean, those were the days, looking back, you know, now that I think about it. But you know, when they come into a college campus, and I don't know how much you remember, but I mean, because they're obviously recruiting folks to you know, apply for the college program. They don't take everybody, but, you know, they want to get the best of the best. Do they come in and like rah-rah and really sell it? What was that like? I mean, because I'd imagine, you know, you kind of go in there blind wondering what's up, but what's the pitch like?
You know, I don't totally remember. I just, you know, Disney's the pitch, really. You know, it's, I get to go down and hang out at Disney World, and But what I do remember is when you interview, you kind of fill out a form, and it's like, what areas would you like to work in? Would you like to work in food service or retail or janitorial or attract, you know, I can't remember if they called it attractions. They might've called it operations, I think is what it was. And I figured, I'll just put operations at the front. And fortunately I got Thunder Mountain, cause I'm originally from Montana. So my family's got a lot of country boy in us. So I kind of fit in pretty well there.
Yeah. That's too funny if that's what they were looking at. You know, I don't know if they look that far, but it's like, the guy's almost from Montana.
Dumb luck.
That's so awesome. That is. I didn't think about that. That's kind of scary that happened there. That's funny. So now, cause this kind of reminds me a little bit of when I first started working at Space Camp, and I was a teacher in St. Louis, but I wanted to go back and do something over the summers because I was inspired by a trip there. I got sent there as a teacher one summer and just fell in love with the place. And so I was like, I got to work here. Like, I got to work here the next summer. I got to be one of the instructors. So I bugged them enough where I got a job the next summer and was one of the instructors in the education program. But I went down there not knowing a soul. I mean, I remember packing the bag, throwing my TV in the Jeep because I knew we were going to live in a college dorm during the summer, and didn't know a person when I checked in. But it was... it was like the time of my life. You know, I loved it because I was where I wanted to be. Because Space Camp to me is very much like Walt Disney World. It's themed, you know, you're playing a role, you got your flight suit, you know, you're teaching about astronauts. It was amazing. So what was it like when you finally got there? Did it meet your expectations right away?
You know, so I didn't have a car, and I knew very few people that did. So I actually only knew one person going down, and that was a girl I met my age on the cruise 2 years prior that was from Florida. So I was the only person that I knew down there, and she wasn't any association with the Walt Disney World Company other than season passes, because that's where they're from. But no, I went down there, and you're kind of confined to the college program bus system, which is great. I didn't need a car except for... you're very limited, especially when I didn't know anybody that had a car. So my first trip to Walmart was like a handful. I remember, I think I had a thing of Miracle Whip, a couple of loaves of bread, and about 20 cans of tuna, and a can opener is what got me through the first couple of weeks. Because
that's awesome. You know, that's
because you're working and, you know, you don't have time to go, you know, do some other stuff. And you don't have friends, a friend network yet that can, you know, go in groups, and you can only haul so much food on a bus.
That's so scary though, because when I got to Huntsville, the first place I went when I checked in at Space Camp to teach there, I realized I packed everything except I forgot to bring a pillow. So it's one of the guys who it was one of the other instructors. He was from Huntsville. He was just the greatest guy. And I know his wife and Wes actually listen to the show sometimes. So if you're listening, Wes, what's up? But you know, he was so good to me. Such a kind guy from down in Alabama. He's like, I'm going to take you to Walmart and we're going to get you a pillow. Cause I didn't know where Walmart was. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need somebody to extend it, but that's scary that both of our first experiences are going to Walmart. You know, how exciting can it be?
Yep. No, exactly.
So walk us through, you know, how they get you. Cause I mean, you obviously, some probably knew more about, you know, traditions and about how Disney does things. And some probably knew less than you did about how Disney does things. So how do they get college kids all on the same page? Because, you know, you have a consistency in what you have to deliver once you're on stage. But I'd imagine, you know, like 20-year-olds, I mean, that could be that's a tough job, I could imagine, to get everybody on the same page.
Yeah, the main thing I remember, so I was actually kind of lucky. Like, I hated it at the time, but it turned out over the course of my college program, it was kind of a blessing. I went in June, the end of June, during June. And so you can do a regular session, which is basically fall or spring semester, or an extended, which will basically give you the summer plus your semester. And I did the extended. So I was there in June when not a lot of college kids show up to do the extended. Most do just the regular semester program. So I got there. So they didn't actually have a training class for me, which I was really bummed because I was ready to get to work and go experience all this. So I didn't have training for like 2.5 weeks, and I was really bummed. Turned out that worked out really well because, well, I just went and played for 2 weeks. So that was great.
So did they give you, like a pass so that you could go into the parks and just enjoy yourself until your training?
Exactly. Yeah. I had all my IDs already. They just didn't have the start date for my job that they put me in for training was like 2 weeks away, something like that. So at first I was like, this sucks. And then I like, nope, this is awesome, actually. I don't have to do anything. So I just played and got to know all the parks. But no, the first day was tradition. So you just learn about the history of Disney. And then so a good part of the day is that. And I don't remember if it's a second day or if it's all during tradition, but they take you around the park that you're working in. So I was in Magic Kingdom, so I got a tour that for half the day, and then I really got an in-depth look because they really, really gave us a detailed, you know, couple hours in Frontierland. So all that's kind of how they acquaint you to the Disney ways, and they're very strict on their traditions, I'll tell you that much.
Which I'm glad for that, you know, because that's what gives us the consistency and the experience. I like hearing that. So now, when do you find out you're going to Big Thunder? I mean, because I'd imagine that, you know, I'd be a little nervous. Like, am I going to end up at Barnstormer, you know, or something
right.
that's, you know, like the Mad Tea Party or, you know, something that's like an annoying attraction. I can't imagine, like Small World or something, you know, I know you don't, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, yeah. Like, when do you find out where you're going to be and what's your reaction?
I believe that I knew that I was operations before I flew down. I think you might learn that not long after getting accepting the position. But then I wasn't assigned where I was going to be until the day I got my ID badge on day one. So, yeah, that was it definitely is because, you know, with attractions, you're right. I could wind up on a big marquee attraction or I could wind up one in the corner of, at the time, Animal Kingdom, which was a half day park. Or, you know, I could wind up, if I was janitor, I could wind up in a hotel or a Downtown Disney.
Yeah.
Or at a park, so you never know.
It could be over at Blizzard Beach or something. Yeah, that's funny. That's cool. So now, were there any kind of crazy reactions from anybody that you saw in the program that maybe they weren't happy with the role they were given?
You know what? A couple of friends that we had made our time there, they were two gals. I don't even remember where they were from, but they were janitor services in our area, and they really liked their job, and I only use janitor because that's, I think most people would default as that's the worst job. I heard a lot of college program kids say, you know what, it wasn't what I would have chosen, but it was awesome because yes, we had to clean, but we're like the janitor staff is like number one in contact with the guests. And so they thought that was just pretty awesome that they were like the front line.
Personally, I think that's Disney at its best with their spin, because the thing is, like, this may be TMI if you're listening while you're eating breakfast here on a Monday morning, but I have a gag reflex, man. I couldn't work. I know that I would I'd love to be with guests. That'd be so much fun helping folks, you know, make the most of their day. But I mean, that 5% or 10% of the day that I have to do the actual duty that I shouldn't use that word.
Yes, but, you know, that's why I wouldn't have been able to do it very well.
I couldn't do it. So, yeah, the kudos to them for doing that. So, so walk me through when you have your first interaction with Big Thunder. I mean, are you kind of mentored by experienced cast members? Do you go through each position? How's that all work? I love this kind of behind the curtain stuff.
Yeah, you know, if I remember, so the first like day or two was studying everything to do with the ride. There's something like 25 scenes or something like that, that they, when you're on the train on Thunder and going throughout the entire roller coaster, that there's like 25 areas. We have to know all these like the back of our hand. You have to know how to shut down the entire ride and do all this stuff. And, you know, then they take you with the person you're training with and your trainer, and you just go take over for somebody in one of the roles. And that's kind of the way they teach it. It's really not that hard. It's a lot easier than you would like to hear for a roller coaster operation.
That's awesome. That's not that hard.
It's very, don't get me wrong, it's very, very strict, but yeah.
Just hit that button. Hit the red button. Okay, yeah, I get it.
Yep.
Okay, so I know we're going to talk about your trip you took after, you know, the one trip after this, so I want to get to that. But last thing on the college program stuff, because I know our listeners love this. You know, do you have, like, one great story from your college program? Like, maybe something you did hanging out, you know, outside of work, or, you know, a story that maybe they put together a party for? Anything like that that's a highlight of the college program for you?
You know, I don't know if I have... You know, one of the really cool things, so I'd like to say I don't really have one moment because just, you know, every day I was going, you know, if I worked a late shift, there were a lot of days where I went to work early and wandered around. I'd put a t-shirt on over my uniform and costume, I should say, and, you know, went and played before work or even after work. But they opened up Tomorrowland one of the nights I was there for college program kids. So the park was shut and just Tomorrowland was open. What was really fun about that was we got to ride Space Mountain regular. We got to ride it with the lights off and we got to ride it with the lights on.
Nice. I've ridden it a few times with the lights on. It's scarier with the lights on.
Oh, when you're 6'3". Absolutely terrifying with the lights on.
It's way
because
scarier.
You are convinced there's no way if you were to keep your hands up the entire time that you'd be elbow down and be gone.
Oh yeah.
It's horribly terrifying. So I mean, I'd do it again because it was cool, but lights off is really neat, but lights on is, yeah, that's gonna scare you.
Yeah, I'm always, yeah, it's definitely scary. All right, so tell us about the trip. You went back, you know, since your college program, took this trip. So where'd you stay? Who'd you go with? And what kind of connections did you make? Kind of reminiscing.
So I tried to get a hold of pretty much anybody that's still either working there that I worked with, or they're just in the Orlando area, and I was able to meet up with a couple of old friends, like my old roommate Little John. It was great to see him after a lot of years, but I went with my wife. Now what's really cool is my sister-in-law works for Delta, and so her kids and spouse and my in-laws, they get not free flights but virtually free flights, you know, like $25, they can fly pretty much across the world. And so the in-laws came down for about 4 or 5 days, kind of right in the middle of our 10-day stretch. But no, just the wife and I, and she had been working out of town for work quite a bit the year leading up to it. So our trip was, it wasn't last minute, but the decision was like, she came home from work, said, hey, I've got a couple $1,000 in vouchers that are either expiring today or in the next couple of weeks from getting bumps. And so we looked at our calendars and we looked at work calendars because we both work in the same company, and found a date, and we just went, and it was about 2 months out, I think, we planned the trip for 10 days. And originally we were going to do about 4 or 5 at Disney and one or two at SeaWorld and one or two at Universal, and wound up, she's like, we're spending too much money. So instead we just kept cutting off days of non-Disney and adding them to a Disney pass, and realized the difference between about 6 days and 10 days for park passes is peanuts. So yep. We wound up doing the 10 days, and the first 7 days were just on the edge outside the front gate. I don't remember the hotel because she had 7 days of free hotels. So we did that for 7 days, and we took Ubers and Lyfts to and from the park because their bus that they had at that hotel was very limiting and didn't leave very late at night as the last one. So we were able to Uber or Lyft just about anywhere on property from this hotel just on the edge for $7-$8 one way. So it was great.
Yeah, Uber and Lyft really make it nice to, you know, basically have a rental car on demand without renting the car. You know, like, it's so cheap, and it's just 5 minutes and they're there. It's one of the things that over the last couple of years I would have never expected that I would use, because in the Midwest, we don't use, you know, public transit very much. Everybody, we're in the suburbs. Everybody has, you know, a couple of cars, and you drive yourself.
We're the same way, and
it's
can.
So weird, yeah. You know, but I mean, like, you know, it's so weird. It didn't take me long. I get down there, man. If I see a long line after leaving the Magic Kingdom, you know, I'll be like, let's walk to the Contemporary and get an Uber. I mean, I'm so spoiled now.
Here's a little tip for anybody going to the Magic Kingdom. If you're taking your Uber or Lyft, I think we took it there twice as the beginning of our days. And the first day was day one, and they took us, the driver took us to the hub. That was a nightmare. The next driver actually took us to the contemporary parking lot, which is way smarter.
Yes. Yes. That's the way to do it. Even at the end of the night, walk over to the contemporary, grab a soda at Contempo Cafe. And by the time you hit that Uber button, they're down there waiting on you and you're out of there.
That's what we started doing is going a little bit off script on kind of what normal people would do. And fortunately, because I worked down there, I, you know, had my fair share of tricks and tips in my up my sleeve to do that.
Nice. Okay, so what were some of the highlights from the trip? I mean, you guys were there a good long time, and you know your way around. So what do you remember as being the highlight?
Well, you got to remember that this is very different for me, because we went from paper fast passes to the My Disney app. And at first, I hated it, and I've heard you kind of talk about it in the past. I think you and Ricky actually talked about it the other day, about giving away some
She did that.
Passes. Yeah. You don't have that ability anymore.
I know. It's so brutal, because I used to love doing that, because we'd never use them all. You know, like the kid would get tired and we'd be like, hey, you want to ride Space Mountain? It's almost like giving candy to strangers. I mean, it was kind of weird, but it was cool
in a way, too. Nope. So, I had set my Disney, I think I did 5 or 6 days worth of fast passes, and I figured out 3 hours into day one how to manipulate the bejeezers out of that thing, and figuring out how FastPass works and manipulating it in your favor is key to having a great trip. We found, there's the first day we went over to Animal Kingdom, which I was excited to ride Everest because that ride was being built when I was there, and my buddy and I were two college program kids that were asked to go open that ride, but that meant we had to be down there another 6 months till it opened, and then another 6 months, and we were like, we've probably wasted enough time in college not studying. So
that sounds like being in college. It took me forever to get up.
So we decided not to. So I was excited to do that. Well, when I got over to Animal Kingdom, I was in the Magic Kingdom, and I was like, hey, look, there's a fast pass for 45 minutes for Everest. Let's go. And so we went over there. And each time I scanned, because I'd already done my three for the day, each time I scanned into Everest, I picked up another Everest Fast Pass 5 minutes later, 4 times in a row. And by the time you ride that ride for the fourth time, you get a little bit queasy. But when it's in 20 minutes.
That's me after the second ride. More than two and I'm done. That part that goes backwards gets me after the second time.
The number one thing that I thought was cool was Memory Maker. That is... So it's just my wife and I. I'm 34. She's a few years older than I am. And, I'd been listening to you guys talk about Memory Maker because until we booked the trip, I hadn't found the podcast. And then I think I listened to like 6 years of podcasts in 2 months while I was working.
Mercy.
and, you know, at first I would kind of pick episodes that had something in the description that I was interested in. And then I just listened to everything. But, the Memory Maker, you know, if it was just the two of us for maybe 3 days, we might not spend the money. But if I had kids and I was only there 2 or 3 days or anything over 3 days, even just the two of us, it was so worth it. We used they lost the money with us for sure.
And that's the thing, when you go back to what it used to cost, like per picture, because remember back in those days, you could buy a picture for like $20 or you could buy the disc for like $350, you know, something like CD-ROM or something. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that helps you justify an annual pass, too, because when you picture that you're going to pay $169 or $199 for Memory Maker and an annual pass comes in at right at $800, I mean, that's still a lot of money. We're talking crazy amounts of money here. But if you're teetering and tottering, that Memory Maker is a gigantic benefit to buying an annual pass.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, ignore the ride pictures. The ride videos are awesome.
Yes.
And, you know, we got our money's worth just the ride photos. But, I mean, we were there during Flower and Garden in May, and I had not been there in that time of the year because I was there June to January. But, man, every single photographer and their white get-up standing there, we took a picture with every one of them. I mean, and oftentimes it was the same spot 3 different times because we crossed that spot 3 days later, and there was a person there like, why not? Let's take a picture. So we have... hundreds, and I think we had like 400 or 500 pictures we got from Disney.
So let me, I got to ask you this. Okay, so you go back, and I love that you take advantage of Memory Maker, because that's what it's all about. I mean, you're paying for it, get a thousand pictures, you know.
Absolutely.
And the photographers want to take pictures. They'd rather do that, I think, than to stand there.
Oh, I've kind of learned that totally over the years.
Okay, so this had to have happened, right? You guys had to have gone over to Big Thunder at some point during the trip, and you had to share the war stories and all that stuff, right? But like, oh yeah, this is, are you not like that? Some people are, some people aren't.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because that I have a list of stuff to like try to remember to mention while we're on here. And more of my stuff is less about memories and more about, you know, things to share with people to make their trip more efficient, because working there, that's some of my favorite stuff to kind of talk about. But chat with cast members. Now, being that I was a cast member, I knew when you were schmoozing me, hoping to get something free out of me and just talking to me as a person. And there's a, I would argue that most cast members are the same way.
Oh, they have radar. And, I like it.
You know, I went over there and that was the only ride that I intentionally stood in line for with a normal length queue. It was about 45 minutes. And I intentionally stood in line because they've refurbished the ride since I was there, including the queue, which is kind of cool because I have a guy that I worked with that's now a Imagineer. So that's also kind of cool, because there's some stuff in Thunder Mountain that's got some names etched in there that are a couple buddies that I used to work with. So
nice. That's
little,
so cool.
Little neat little nugget there. I went in that line. I talked to a few cast members, said I worked there. They had given me a couple passes. I wanted it to be my last ride on my last day. So I didn't have any fast passes left, and I had kind of done my timing wrong. So I wasn't going to be able to ride it, but I walked up to her and I said, I am leaving. This was the ride I worked on. She was like, here, go have fun. But seriously, if you guys just like, whether it's somebody in a queue, you know, that's posted at a station that's near where you're at, if you just talk to them and ask them where they're from and how long they've been working here, you'd be surprised how many will just hand you something that will really make part of your day a little special.
Okay.
You know, whether it be a rider switch or a popcorn kind of thing. And I'm not saying this to get people to just go and, you know, try to con their way into things, but if you're just being genuine, you'll be surprised how much it'll help.
That's awesome. All right, so we have about 5 minutes left, and I do want to take advantage of having you here on the show. You know, give us maybe your top three tips, you know, from being somebody who created the magic for us, which on behalf of all of us that are Disney fans who have never been cast members, thanks for taking the time to do that, because without the cast members, Walt Disney World would be nothing. I mean, it's all about the cast members. So give us like your top three. I mean, that was a great nugget there. So what else should our guests know here?
You know, just my wife and I, we're not afraid to share food. And we were trying to save a little bit of money while we were there. One of the things we like to do is share a meal somewhere and then go share another meal somewhere else, even if it's right back to back, because it allows us to try more stuff. So I don't know how well that works necessarily if you have kids with you or not, but it worked really well. Some of the things that I learned from you that we took advantage of was having Amazon ship things to our room.
Yes.
Water. So I wouldn't fill up at a water fountain, but there is at least one restaurant in every park that you can go up to their soda machines and get ice cold water with ice.
Good tip.
Which was a huge thing for us. Because I think we walked an average of 11 miles a day, the Fitbit said.
Yep. And when it's hot, you need water.
so that was a big thing. I brought a GoPro. Yeah. I wouldn't waste my time with it again. But, you know, one thing I've always wanted to ask you is, why are you not in Vacation Club if you're spending a couple weeks down there a year? I would think it would pay for itself eventually.
Well, here's the deal on that. I get that question more than you might know, but the thing is, I have a daughter in college, so I don't need another mortgage. You know what?
Fair.
It's like, fair. I know that if I would have bought Vacation Club back when this all started, you know, the podcast turns 10 next month. So, yeah, a long time. If I could go back in time, it would make a lot of sense. But right now, we just chip away here and there. We can put money away and, stay at moderates and values and stuff. And, yeah, we just have our fun. I try not to regret it. So, yeah, you're right. It would make sense. I get where you're coming from.
One of my favorite things, so we really like the characters. And our best character interactions, Mary Poppins was excellent. We're big Mary Poppins fan. We've got, the soundtrack in both our vehicles. I'm not a big Star Wars guy, but Kylo Ren was really fun to meet.
He is. He's cool.
The pictures were outstanding with him. And then you got to go see Mickey Mouse at the Magic Kingdom.
And rumor is that he may be leaving with a talking Mickey. If he leaves, I'll be so upset. God.
That might be the single coolest thing that showed up since I was there. Because I wrote down a note, knew that we loved Crush's ride, or yes. Crush's show. We liked the Monsters Laugh Floor, and then
so you like that? You like that living character? You like that living character initiative kind of thing where they really made the characters, they brought them to life and brought them face to face with the guests. I like that.
Yeah. I don't know if every Mickey had that ability and if every Donald had that ability, I don't know if I would like that, but for that one Mickey, that was just really neat. But the one thing I'd be kill myself if I didn't mention. So we were there for the Last Wishes. And the first of the new show, was right towards the end of our trip. And I was a Wishes guy because that was played every single night that I worked. The new show is really neat, but it was really cool saying that I was at the Last Wishes and the very first of,
Happily Ever After.
There it is. That was awesome.
I was just thinking though, because that is something that is totally, special to somebody who works at a theme park like Magic Kingdom or, one of the Walt Disney World theme parks, is that you have some kind of a concrete memory right there, like with Wishes, or say you did some time over at Epcot. Did some time. Sounds like you got sentenced to being a cast member. But you worked over at Epcot. Illumination soundtrack would probably be something that would stick with you the rest of your life. So I'm sure you do have a soft spot for Wishes, and it's cool that you happened to be there the last night, man. What good time.
Yeah, it was pure luck. I figured it out after we booked it. I figured out it was while I was there. It was ending, and then for anybody going with just two adults. Depending on how long you're there, we don't do the downtime thing. Like, I don't have it in me to peel myself away from the park. I'm sure once we have kids, it'll be have to, and then I can kind of experience some of the other experiences rather than being in the parks. But we did do the full four parks in one day, and that was a blast, too. It was really tiring, but it was a good time.
Okay, so let's wrap on that, because I got a question. Actually, I have two of them in the queue about four parks in one day and advice for doing that. And the only time I've done that, I've done it four times. It's called four Walt Disney World marathons. That's the only time. I don't, you just running through the parks. No, I've never done that because I don't think I have the stamina. So what lesson did you learn doing four parks in one day?
Well, you got to be flexible. So I wouldn't have attempted. Well, I did do it when I was younger, but we said that we had to do at least two rides and another kind of show or attraction while we were in each park. Rather than, because it wasn't a step foot in the front door and leave, we didn't count that. So you kind of need to not have kids, or maybe kids that are in the teens that are just kind of willing to say, let's do this. If, for you guys that are there normally, I think that would be fun. But for somebody that's only there for 5 or 6 days, I wouldn't do it. It was made doable by the app, because I could pick what park we're going to next by simply what fast passes of bigger rides were available the soonest. And that's kind of how we did it. It was really fun.
Yeah, you would want to do that with kids.
I couldn't walk after that.
That's awesome. Well, Garrett, I appreciate you taking the time to kick off the week with us here. And again, thanks for being a cast member. Thanks for taking us kind of behind the curtain here, hearing about your cast member days, and for giving us some great tips to plan great vacations here in 2018. We sure appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books. You can get ebooks. You can get audiobooks. You know what? If you're in a pinch for Valentine's Day, 2 days away, I know a lot of times, you know, I'm looking for, oh man, what can I still get? And you don't want to be at Walgreens, you know, Wednesday morning and trying to find something, because then you'll end up with a chia pet like you do on Christmas Eve. So drop by thewisdomofwalt.com, and you can go by Amazon as well and pick up a great book for the Disney lover in your life. So check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And if you want to help somebody do four parks in one day, let me tell you, you can really help them out. A premium subscription to touringplans.com will do just that. They'll have all the information, not only from Disney, but also from Touring Plans. Help them make great decisions in the park. 365 days of great information for the cost of basically a counter service meal down at Walt Disney World. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. And Garrett mentioned it as well. Don't forget, you can support the show anytime you order anything on Amazon. Please use our Amazon affiliate link. It really does help support the show. You get all your Prime benefits as well. Just go to BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And don't forget to give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook group over at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. Until we get back together on Wednesday, it may be listener questions or it may be something else. We might switch it up this week, so stay tuned for that. So until then, for Garrett, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.